Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to NTPC Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhanshu Bansal from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sudhanshu. Hello, everyone. On behalf of JM Financial, I welcome you all to the conference call of NTPC to discuss the Q2 FY25 results. We have with us the leadership team of NTPC, comprising of Shri Jaikumar Srinivasan, Director of Finance, Shri Shivam Srivastava, Director of Fuel, Shri Shanmugam Sundaram, Director of Projects, Shri Ravindra Kumar, Director of Operations, Shri Anil Kumar Jadli, Director of HR. Thank you so much, sir, for your kind presence and giving JM Financial the opportunity to host the call. Friends, before we start the call, I would just like to share one good thing. Like, amongst the various awards won by the NTPC Limited, it gives me the immense pleasure to inform you that Shri Jaikumar Srinivasan, the Director of Finance, NTPC, has been bestowed with the prestigious Leading CFO of the Year Award by CII in a ceremony held on 19 September at Bangalore. The award is an acknowledgment of his contribution towards corporate transparency, governance, and financial leadership. Many congratulations to sir. And with this, I will request Shri Srinivasan for the opening remarks and taking the call forward. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, yes.
Okay, a very good afternoon to all the participants. I, Jaikumar Srinivasan, Director of Finance, welcome all of you to the Q2 FY25 conference call of NTPC Limited. I have with me Shri Shivam Srivastava, Director of Fuel, Shri K. Shanmugasundaram, Director of Projects, Shri Ravindra Kumar, Director of Operations, and Shri Anil Kumar Jadli, Director of Human Resources. I also have with me other key members of the NTPC team. Yesterday evening, the company has announced the unaudited financial results for Q2 FY25, along with half-yearly results for FY25. The key performance highlights for the quarter and half-year ended 30 September 2024 have already been disclosed on both the stock exchanges. NTPC has completed yet another outstanding quarter, showcasing robust operational and financial performance. We have made substantial progress on various key strategic initiatives, particularly the renewable energy. I share with you a few operational highlights for Q2 and H1 FY25. During H1 FY25, NTPC Group has added 485 MW commercial RE capacity to its portfolio. As of 30 September 2024, the commercial capacity of NTPC stands at 59,168 MW on a standalone basis and 76,443 MW for the group as a whole. NTPC Group generated 220 billion units in H1 FY24 as compared to 212 billion units in H1 24, registering a growth of 3.77%. NTPC's standalone gross generation in H1 FY25 was 186 billion units as compared to 179 billion units in the corresponding previous year, with a rise of 3.91%. During H1 FY25, PLF of coal stations of NTPC was 76.31%, as against the national average of 70.63%. Lara station of NTPC, with a PLF of 91.63%, is the fifth-ranked station, and Singrauli station, with a PLF of 88.83%, is the 13th-ranked station in All India PLF ranking during April-September 2024. During H1 FY25, materialization of coal against the annual contracted quantity was 97%, as against 95.8% in the corresponding previous period. coal supply during H1 FY25 was 119.41 million metric tons, including 2.02 million metric tons of imported coal. The coal supply during the corresponding previous year was 113.47 MMT, including 3.73 MMT of import coal. NTPC has registered highest ever coal production of 19.23 million metric tons in H1 FY25, with a growth of over 19.74% as against 16.06 MMT in H1 FY24. Cumulative expenditure of 11,585 crores have been incurred on the development of coal mines till 30th September 2024. Now I turn to some of the financial figures. For NTPC, on a standalone basis, total income for Q2 FY25 is 41,245 crores as against 41,518 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. The revenue, lesser revenue is on account of lesser average price of the coal. The average price of coal was 3,791 per ton in the last year. Now it is 3,584, thereby a reduction of 207 rupees per ton, with a reduction of 5.46%. Compared to this, the revenue reduction is only 6.66%. NTPC's profit after tax for Q2 FY25 is 4,649 crores, as against 3,885 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year, registering an increase of 19.66%. On a half-yearly basis, PAT is 9,160 crores, as against 7,951 crores in H1 FY24, registering an increase of 15.2%. Total income of the group for H1 FY25 is 94,179 crores, as against ₹88,775 crores in the corresponding previous period, which signals an increase of 6.09% over previous year. PAT of the group for H1 FY25 is 10,886 crores, as against the corresponding previous period PAT of 9,634 crores, registering an increase of by 13%. During H1 FY25, our subsidiaries earned profit of ₹1,363 crores, as compared to 1,117 crores in the corresponding period of previous year, registering an increase of 21.91%. NTPC's share of profit in JV has also increased from 1,024 in H1 FY24 to 1,124 in H1 FY25, which is a 3.88% increase over previous year. During H1 FY25, we have accounted for dividend income of 762 crores from our subsidiaries and joint ventures, as against 541 crores during H1 of FY24. Standalone regulatory equity for power and mining business as on 30th September 2024 was 89,430 crores. Which was 83,059 crores previous year, registering a growth of 7.67%. On a consolidated basis, the consolidated regulated equity as on 30th September 2024 was 1,05,049 crores, which is 5.5% over last year figure of 99,611 crores. The board has declared the first interim dividend of ₹2.50 per share for the financial year 24-25. Regarding fund mobilization, NTPC has signed a term loan agreement of 5,000 crores with HDFC Bank on 31st May 2024. The overall average interest rate on borrowing during H1 FY25 was 6.63%, as compared to 6.67% in H1 FY24. In H1 FY25, we have incurred a group capex of 17,474 crores as compared to 13,204 crores in the corresponding previous period. While on a standalone basis, NTPC has incurred a capex of 14,040 crores as compared to 7,959 crores in the corresponding previous period. The capital outlay of NTPC on standalone basis has been estimated at 22,700 crores for the financial year 25. Further, I would like to list a few other highlights. As India aspires to achieve its net zero target by 2070, NTPC is also poised to contribute significantly to the energy transition through an optimum combination of renewable energy, energy storage technologies, and clean-based load generation technologies like nuclear power. NTPC plans to execute its nuclear business through the following parallel streams. Anushakti Vidyut Nigam Limited, Ashwini, a joint venture company of NTPC and Nuclear Power Company Limited, Corporation Limited, has been established for commissioning pressurized heavy water reactor nuclear projects. The Government of India has recently accorded its approval for the transfer of Mahi Banswara Nuclear Power Project 4x700 MW to Ashwini. A wholly owned subsidiary of NTPC, which will implement small modular reactors, SMRs, and fast breeder reactors, FBRs, and pressurized water reactors. NTPC Group has a strong commitment towards renewable energy. We have already commissioned 4,013 MW of RE projects. As you are already aware that we have filed the draft red herring prospectus for the IPO of NTPC Green Energy Limited on 18 September 2024, and the process is proceeding as planned. During the Rising Rajasthan Investor Meet at New Delhi, NTPC Green Energy Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of NTPC, signed a memorandum of understanding with the Government of Rajasthan. Subsequently, on 17 September 2024, a joint venture agreement with Rajya Vidyut Utpadak Nimak Limited, RVUNL, was signed for development of 25 gigawatt of renewable energy project and 1 million metric ton per annum of green hydrogen derivatives in state of Rajasthan. NTPC Green Energy Limited has entered into a joint venture agreement with Mahatma Phule Renewable Energy and Infrastructure Technology Limited, acronymed MAHAPREET, on 25th September 2024. The JV company will undertake development of 10 gigawatt of renewable energy parks and projects in Maharashtra or any other state of India. As part of our overall energy security plans, investment approval has been accorded for SIPAT Super Thermal Power Project Stage 3, 1x800 MW, and Darlipalli Super Thermal Power Project Stage 2, 1x800 MW. EPC contracts for both the projects have been placed. We are actively considering awarding thermal capacity to the tune of 13.6 gigawatt by the financial year 26-27. This is in addition to 11.16 gigawatt thermal capacity already under construction. Furthermore, to have greater fuel security, we are enhancing our coal mining capacity as well. It is planned to enhance estimated NTPC group coal production from 40 million metric ton in FY25 to about 67 million metric ton up to financial year 29. Going higher on generation, lowering greenhouse gases intensity remains our motto for environmental management and drives our efforts to comply with new environmental norms. We have taken significant steps to control SOx and NOx emission. Over the next 3 years, we plan to commission FGD systems for our entire operational and under construction capacity, ensuring substantial reduction in SOx emission. We have commissioned 14,600 MW, and work in FGD package for the cumulative capacity of 49 gigawatt is under progress. In the areas of ash management, 9 of our stations achieved 100% ash utilization during H1 FY25, and approximately 245 lakh metric ton of ash has been supplied to various road projects during H1 FY25 as against 215 lakh metric ton in H1 FY24. Our wholly owned subsidiary NVVN signed a PPA on 3rd October 2024 with Nepal Electricity Authority for the sale of 230 megawatt of power. A trilateral agreement was also signed between NVVN, NEA and BPDP for the supply of 40 megawatt of power from Nepal to Bangladesh. As part of its ongoing sustainable measures to reduce greenhouse gases, NTPC stations received 2.62 lakh metric ton of biomass in the first half of financial year 25, a remarkable increase compared to 0.31 lakh metric ton during the same period last year. NTPC has been conferred with the Asia's Best Employer Brand Award 2024 at the Asia's Best Employer Brand Awards held on 6th August 2024 at Singapore. Asia's Best Employer Brand Award 2024 features the top organization from Asia region having exemplary people practices. NTPC was included in the Time World's Best Companies 2024 list, announced in September 2024. This award was presented by Time and Statista, the world leading statistical portal and industry ranking provider. The listing was done considering employee satisfaction surveys, revenue growth, environmental and social corporate governance data. NTPC won 3 awards at the prestigious Economic Times Future Skills Award 2024. NTPC received the Generation Company of the Year Award in Thermal category at the Powering India Award held in on 4th September 2024 in New Delhi. The Pakri Barwadi coal mining project was honored with third prize in the large open cast coal mining category at the first Pan India level Mine Safety Award MSA 2024. Now these were some of the key highlights I wanted to share with all the participants before we begin the question and answer session. Thank you. Over to you. Over to JM Financials.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a very good quarter and on the prestigious award. My question is, sir, first question is on the one thing I observed is that you're not participating in the RE bids, a very, very selective bid, sir. How do you think about, you know, participating?
Voice is not clear, please.
Sir, maybe I'll be a bit louder. So one thing we observed is that you're not participating in the RE bids. Our participation is very, very limited. So what is hindering us and how do you think about the strategy of, you know, participating in the upcoming bids?
No, our participation is selective in a sense that, you know, we are participating in pure play solar and wind also, but when it comes to some structured bids like RTC and your FDRE, there we are evaluating, you know, the mix and what is the stipulation, what is the guaranteed parameters, and based on the risk profile in each of this and the returns expectation, we are selective in that approach. However, it is not that we are staying away from this thing. We are being only selective because we have to look at the returns profile also, the risk also. So we go about it very judiciously on that. not solely for the purpose of adding capacity, but we are trying to calibrate the different aspects of the project and then taking a call on that.
So it's fair to say that you're not facing any constraints on transmission connectivity or land acquisition. Is it right to say, sir, on the RE capacities?
Sorry, sir. Please repeat.
Is it fair to say that you're not facing any constraints on transmission connectivity or land acquisition?
No, we are not, because we are following a dual strategy of creating land banks through separate tenders. We are also, as I was mentioning to you, that we are tying up in big way with the state governments, Rajasthan and Maharashtra, which I mentioned, where essentially the partnering is because the state government have a better control over land. So this would ensure that the JV partner brings the land on the table, we bring our operational expertise and finance. So by this methodology, we are ensuring at the land. As far as transmission connectivity is also concerned, we are not facing any major challenges here. And we have an early mover advantage also. And the other issue is that because of taking up large size projects of 1.2 to 2 gigawatt, then there is a mandate that naturally the transmission evacuation has to be made arranged over there. So we are scaling up the size at an individual location in order to ensure that transmission doesn't become a constraint.
Understood, sir. My second question is on the under recovery, sir. Can you give us the under recovery in H1 versus last year? And are you seeing an improvement in FY25 compared to earlier years because of new CRC regulations? How is your experience?
See, as far as you are talking about disincentive or under recovery?
Under recovery.
You are talking about the disincentives compared to the last year. Was Q2 was 381 was the disincentive or under recovery. Compared to this, it is 495 in the current quarter two. But however, let me share with you that this has a bearing on what is the level of planned outages we take every year and the composition of what is the the capacity charges of individual power plant. But going ahead, so the overall planned outages last year was 5.19%. Whereas it is on a higher percent, it is 6.12%, almost 1% higher planned outages were there. So accordingly, this, if you translate it to MU terms, last year 11,711 MUs were there, it is now 14,483 MUs. So on an average megawatt basis, as against 2,730, it is 3,295 average megawatt. A number of units, four more number of units were taken under the planned outages. However, going ahead, we are confident that in the busy season, this would be eased out, and we will be able to substantially mitigate this by the end of the year.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is on the line of Gaurav from Axis Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. I just wanted to ask you about a recent media article that highlighted that government might consider stopping issuance of new FGD tenders. Any thoughts around that? I mean, how will it impact any? Will it impact any existing orders that you've given out? And how do you see this going forward?
I'll ask our director of project, Mr. Sundaram, to reply to this. Over to Mr. Sundaram.
What you heard is based on, I said there is no order. This order has to come from MOP and MOEF with a pending case in Supreme Court. And even if you see that report, what has been mentioned is, wherever FGDs are commissioned, say for either NTPC, those will be used as a base data for the future decision. So in any case, we will not be affected.
See, if I may just add to that, this FGD is coming out of a statutory stipulation, depending on the environmental imperatives. These are policy decisions at the highest level. And however, at a company level, this becomes a change in law. Even if it is introduced, altered, withdrawn, as far as the company is concerned, it operates on a cost-plus principles, and we are completely hedged against this kind of a decision. So this is it's a completely national-level policy decisions, and the company per se remains unaffected because we are entirely into a cost-plus business.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shubhadeep Mitra from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is with regard to the deferred revenue. We've seen a pretty chunky number that has come in this quarter. If you can throw some light on this particular item and if this is a bit unusual, I'll be beating it through.
You are talking about a regulatory deferral account?
Yes, sir.
Okay. See, it is like this, that a chunk of this net movement in the regulatory deferral account balance is on account of the unfavorable ERV expenses close to 1,997 crores. So what happens is the cost is booked on the relevant account head of either interest rate or the finance cost, other expenses, and we are capturing the pass-through because it's a cost-plus mechanism. The pass-through happens through below the PBT. So that is the reason this is captured under the net movement in regulatory deferral account balances. So it's then evens out. For the company, it is profit neutral in that sense. Because as you know, that in the regulatory principle, the cost of hedging is a pass-through. Interest rate is also a pass-through. Saving in interest rate is also a pass-through. So accordingly, only thing from the statement reporting point of view, while the cost gets captured in the relevant account heads, the pass-through is captured in the regulatory deferral account. I hope that makes it clear.
Understood, sir. No, this makes it really very clear. Thanks for that detailed explanation. So secondly, if you can also help us with the regulated equity. I think you mentioned consolidated regulated equity at 1,05,000 crores. I'm not sure if I caught that right number. So the console and the standalone regulated equity, if you can help us with both.
Yeah. As on 30th September 2024, the standalone regulated equity is 89,430. Okay. Now this was 83,059 last year. Okay. Now, as far as the console is concerned, it is 1,05,049 crores, which was at 99,611 previous year.
Got it. And so lastly, the adjusted PAT number for this quarter, for standalone and console?
Yeah. As far as, I'll just make a comparison that on a standalone basis for Q2, while the reported PAT is 4,649 crores, for Q2 the adjusted PAT is 4,202 crores on a consolidated basis, as against 5,380 crores of reported PAT, adjusted PAT is 4,867 crores.
Got it. Thank you. One last question, if I can squeeze in. You mentioned that about 13.6 gigawatts of fresh ordering is active. If I understand correctly, is most of this thermal, and if you can spell out some details on that.
Can you please repeat for better clarity?
Sir, what I was asking is on the future ordering of projects. I believe you mentioned 13.6 gigawatt of fresh ordering. to be done in the current year.
Uh-huh.
How much of this is expected to be thermal and some details on that?
All are thermal.
All are thermal. I was mentioning about thermal only.
Okay, understood. And these are all in the tendering phase to be ordered out by March.
That's right.
8.8 gigawatt is already bidded out and balance 4.8 in next 2 months.
So the 8.8 that is bidded out have not been awarded yet, right? They are in the bidding stage.
That is expected award in the third quarter. By December it will be awarded, 8.8 gigawatt.
Okay, 8.8 by December. Got it. Thank you so much. I've extinguished my questions. Thanks a ton.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Can you also lay down what is the expected commissioning size on the thermal side for this year and next year? And how's the progress on those?
For this year, it will be 2.7 gigawatt thermal.
Okay.
For the next financial, it will be 2.7 gigawatt. It consists of Bad, North Karanpura, 1 unit of Patra 2, and 1 hour Purja unit number 1. So 2.7 gigawatt thermal in this financial year, FY24-25.
Okay, and next one?
For the next year, it is 800 megawatt Patra 2, and THDC Purja 660 megawatt, so 1.46 gigawatt for next financial year.
Okay, that's helpful. And in terms of your projects which you are awarding out, Sipat and Darli Parli, you said, is now done, right? What are the next three in pipeline and what is the status for ratification of PPAs there?
Our next in pipeline is around 8.8 gigawatt, consisting of Nabinagar Stage 2, 2400 megawatt, Telangana Stage 2, 2400 megawatt, Gadavara Stage 2, 1600 megawatt, Meja Stage 2, 2400 megawatt, of which Meja 2 and Nabinagar 2, almost PPA consent is there. For Telangana, around 75%, and for Gadarwara, around 68% consent for PPA is there. Balance PPA were expected to achieve within 2 months.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arihant from Bohead. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Please, can you guide what would be the capacity addition in renewable in FY25, 26 and 27?
See, as far as the capacity expansion in renewable is concerned, this will be done majorly through the NGEL, the 100% subsidiary. The current year, the capacity addition expected is 3 gigawatts. Next year, it will be 5 gigawatts. And the year next, it will be 8 gigawatt. So by FY27, the operational capacity will be 19.4 gigawatt.
Okay, sir. And sir, can you also give an update on a Tehri PSP 1000 megawatt project? What's the status of that? When will it get commissioned?
Tehri project is expected to commission in this quarter, by December.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Varani from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah. My question is on the renewable projects on NGEL, in NGEL, like where in the details of project-wise PPA, whether it has or not, is given. So there are some projects where there is PPA yet to be signed. So can you highlight why these projects don't have PPA? If there are any challenges in signing PPA, what is the way forward?
No, let me give you an overview that right now the operational capacity is close to 4.3 gigawatt. Now, I will classify it into two further categories. A further 12 gigawatt is contracted and awarded, for which there are firm PPA have been signed, all documentation done. a further 11 gigawatt is at different stages. These are definitive projects where there is a commitment, but however, the documentation in terms of award, in terms of PPA are in various stages, and we hope to take this under control this year. So we will have with this a clear pipeline of 25 gigawatt of RE project comprising of solar, wind.
Yeah, so my question is among this contracted and awarded project.
So up to FY26, whatever is our plan, for which entire all tie-ups are in place, including offtake. Yeah, please.
So I appreciate that. I appreciate that, sir. My question is on this 11.5 gigawatt of contracted and awarded projects, list of projects given in the DRHP, where certain projects do not have PPA, like it says no PPA. So, for example, there is REMCL2 or a SECI Solar 8 or SECI
Solar. What you are saying is the other category which I said. There are two categories. 12 is firmly in place. Another 11 is under the process. This is what I was trying to explain.
Okay, sure. So broader question is, are you seeing any pushback from DISCOMs or states in signing PPAs, or is it going to be smooth sailing for that?
No, absolutely. We have no such challenges.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is on the line of Satyadeep Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Couple of questions. One on thermal. Recently, some of the project awards we've seen on thermal, the capex figure has gone beyond 12 crore per megawatt. Just wanted to understand what's driving that increase in capex for some of the new projects.
Actually, we have added ACC also. Now we are looking for conservation of water also. That also adds to the cost. And of course, the number of players have come down to a single EPC.
Air-cooled condenser.
So it actually comes around 0.7 crore per megawatt. You have seen this. Otherwise, if you see our sympathy being one unit, slightly it has gone high. If the number of units are three, definitely the cost will come down. Of course, ACC is a major contributor. And since the number of bidders have come down to only one, there is a slight increase in cost.
Okay. Fair enough. On the renewable front, wanted to ask these 3, 5, 8. Obviously, this includes the MOU projects as well. So when you look at locking in transmission, would it be fair to say you locked in transmission for the entire 16 upcoming capacity gigawatt? You've already identified, you've already put in the GNA request. You're confident the transmission will come in for this capacity by 2027. Let's say.
Our capacity plan of 60 gigawatt per total capacity plan up to FY32. But right now, as I was explaining, that everything is tied up in terms of whatever is our commissioning up to FY26. Going beyond that, it has to be a progressive plans. We will be simultaneously entering into the bidding process. We are parallelly procuring it and also seeking land connectivity on a parallel. So on all the fronts we have to work.
Okay, so you're saying 3 and 5 you've already planned, the remaining ones for 27 you still.
Because there are certain prerequisites when it comes to seeking connectivity. So you have to demonstrate, so you have to have the land, isn't it? So we follow those processes will have to be followed, and it will be a gradual, progressive action.
Okay. So within this 3 and 5, how much from Khavda, the entire Khavda can come within this by 26?
Yeah, you're correct.
About 1.2 gigawatt
would be coming from Khavda in this.
In the say 8 gigawatt in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vishal Periwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. Briefly initial commentary mentioned that the NTPC standalone interest cost is roughly 6.63. So is it fair to say NTPC Green will have a similar number than when we see interest cost coming time?
It would be fair to assume this broadly, given the fact that, NTPC Green Energy Limited has been rated as AAA domestic rating, which is equal to the parent. And the loans that they have contracted after their formation only gives a feeling that they are equally able to raise at a competitive rate equal to their parent. And going ahead further, they will also, NGL will also have an edge that they will have access to a lot of, multilateral loans from financial multilateral who are with a clear exclusive focus on green energy, renewable energy and ESG. They will be able to access these cheap funds, and in fact they have already done that to some extent.
Okay. And then second, I think though you have clarified this, so for NTPC Green, contracted awarded PPA as per DRHP is 11.7 gigawatt, right, sir? And further, there are certain line items in that list mentioned, PPA is open. So is that the same reason you mentioned, in terms of tie-up and everything, PPA and award is up to FY26 that we have, which is basically means it's not 11.7, it's actually 3 gigawatt in FY25 and then 5 gigawatt in FY26. So it's actually 8 gigawatt vis-a-vis 11.7 in terms of the awarded and the PPA tied up.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, as I was mentioning, the current operational capacity is 4.3. We'll be adding 3 gigawatt. These are already awarded. So, this will be fructifying. 3 gigawatt will fructify during the current year, 5 gigawatt fructify during the next year, and 8 gigawatt the next year. So, as far as the classification, as I was, I may repeat, that 12 gigawatt, around 12 gigawatt, because there is a continuous process, the status, what we find at the DRHP, there have been more improvements on that. So, these things keep happening on all the fronts. So, I may share the latest thing that around 12 gigawatt, it is awarded, contracted, and further 11.5 gigawatt is at different stages. Part of this even have been converted into PPA and partly they are under the process. But these are projects which are clearly identified and definitive, and it's a matter of time that all this will be converted into a awarded and contracted category.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot for the detailed explanation, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mohit Pandey from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, in the initial remarks, you mentioned 22,700 as a capital outlay for the parent entity. What would the corresponding number be for console for FY25?
On a consolidated basis, group, it will be 27,982. Is the plan, overall plan.
Okay, sir. And is it possible to give a breakup of this?
Sorry?
Is it possible to share a breakup of this as to how much will it be across different elements? Broad breakup?
Maybe we can share this with you separately.
Okay, sir.
I don't have it exactly, the breakup with me. I will share it with you.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, secondly... Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, sir. Secondly, I think earlier in previous calls it had been mentioned that the entire thermal capacity incremental awards would be over next two financial years, but I think today you mentioned by FY27. So which are the particular projects that are now planned for FY27, sir?
See, right now the director project had given you the detail of this thing. I may give you summarily that there will be a total of 7 projects which will be which is planned for tendering up to FY27. So this includes major two sir, combined capacity. I'm saying 2,400, Abhinagar 2,400, Telangana 2,400. Gadarwara 2, 1,600, so that makes it 8,800 during the current year. Anpara will be in 25-26, 1,600. Obara will be 1,600. That makes it 3,200 in the next year. And in the financial year 26-27, there will be 1,600 in Patra 2. So that makes it a total of 13,600 megawatt, 6,400 of which will be from the NTPC and 7,200 will be through JV subsidiary.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is on the line of Rajesh Majumdar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Most of my questions are answered. I just wanted to ask you that will the NTPC green IPO still happen on time in the light of current market conditions and what kind of approximate valuation are you looking at in that? A range would do, sir.
No, we are stated. No, there is no valuation that has been decided right now. So we are still in the process and we are hopeful that we will be going ahead as per our plan.
So it will be concluded by 3Q as per original plan?
Sorry?
It will be concluded by 3Q as per original plan, by IPO?
Q3, hopefully
Q3.
So, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is on the line of Nikhil Nagania from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. My first question was, given the way at which battery prices have fallen, are we seeing any pushback or delays in signing of PPAs for thermal power plants?
We don't anticipate such because, given the overall demand supply scenarios and also the projection that those are available both in terms of your overall requirement of energy and also the picking, it is expected to grow by 75 gigawatt over the next 7 to 8 years. So all this will necessitate that, we'll have to add capacity. Thermal capacity for the country as a whole has been projected that 80 gigawatt will still be needed. We have our share of 25 gigawatt that has been assigned to us. And we are confident that all this will be tied up. And most of our things are tied up. Something we are partly tied up and we are expecting responses from the states.
Understood. Thank you. My second question was on the nuclear side. Mahi Banswara, Chutka, any broad sense of timelines you could guide us on? Historically, we have seen nuclear plants take about 10 years to be set up. So any sense, any guidance on timeline for those assets?
Director project will be replying to this, Mr. Sundaram.
Our Mahi Banswara, the first milestone, first pour concrete is expected in March 2026. Our first unit will approach to criticality financial year 31-32. All the 4 units will be commissioned by FY32.
Understood. And so Chutka, any development or is that not part of the plan? No.
See, at this instance, Chutka has not been transferred to our JV. So, right now there are some land issues, NPC is looking.
We won't be able to say anything definitive at this stage. Yes, that was a proposal, distant proposal. But right now, we are taking up Mahi Banswara in the first place. We'll let you know as and when there are more developments.
Understood. Thank you so much. Those were my questions.
Thank you. Our next question is on the line of Harshil Setia from Renaissance Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. The 60 gigawatt target by FY32 is for the renewable energy capacity, correct?
It is for the renewable energy broadly, but when you talk about renewable energy, it consists of your solar, wind projects. It comprises of your storage also, and also some of these capacities will go on for green molecule business also, which we plan to go ahead. So that will require some solar energy or wind energy for feeding it to the for the generation of the green hydrogen. So all this will be comprised under the 60 gigawatt.
And this will be purely done in NTPC Green Energy.
All this will be under NTPC Green Energy only. So NTPC Green broadly will have solar, wind, storage, be it in terms of battery energy storage or PSP, and also the molecular green molecular business.
Okay, and the nuclear energy will be in the current entity, the standalone entity.
No, nuclear energy will be, of course, with NTPC, but that is being implemented in a joint venture through with NPC, as I was mentioning. And we also have a 100% subsidiary for our future endeavors on the nuclear side. So, to answer your question squarely, NGL will not have nuclear energy, although it is a non-fossil fuel based.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Binde from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, I just wanted to understand the update on the pump storage hydro. And just to clarify, as you said in the last question, PSP would also be a part of AGEL and not in the NTPC entity. Right?
No, please repeat for clarity.
Yeah. So I wanted to get an update on the pump storage that we were exploring, one. And second, as you said in the previous question, that PSP would be a part of LGEL and not NTPC. Just wanted to reconfirm on that one.
Yeah, PSP will be broadly, for achieving, a renewable energy solution on a RTC basis, or a form of dispatchable. So many of the PSP will be driven by this thing. But there are standalone PSPs which will also be implemented by our other two subsidiaries, which is THVAC NIPCO. So it will not be purely restricted to NGL also. Some of the major, because we have acquired THDC and NIPCO. So some of the, there was an earlier query about dairy. So dairy was itself a PSP only, from storage.
Right. So any broad breakup, because in the last call you were talking about some 11 gigawatts of pump storage being explored. Any broad breakup in which subsidiary or which entity would each one of this be sitting?
Already 1 gigawatt PSP our subsidiary is doing, and 2.8 gigawatt from Tamil Nadu and Maharashtra we have got the order for going ahead. Another 4.2 gigawatt is in the pipeline. So expected is around 8 gigawatt PSP will be able to get in NGL.
Correct. This 2.8 gigawatt Tamil Nadu and Maharashtra, that would be a part of NGEL, is it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, this is one question.
Yes.
Thank you. Our last question is on the line of Rishika from GS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. I have two questions. First, what drove the decline in PLF of coal and gas this quarter? And second is the 400 capacity addition that we are seeing this quarter when compared to the previous one. What is the breakup here between renewable and thermal?
Okay, as far as your first question regarding PLF is concerned, you know, the PLF has a bearing on what is that demand, rather than it's no longer the efficiency parameter. It is more to do with what is the system demand, and with more renewable coming into the play, increasingly the renewable energy may find a lesser PLF because it will be playing a role subservient to the renewable energy during the daytime. So the PLF will be lesser compared to the previous periods. So that is one point. What was your second question? Can you repeat?
The second question is on the capacity addition this quarter. Could you tell me the breakup? Is it all renewable or was it thermal or any other source?
So capacity addition, which have been achieved, is 485 megawatt. Out of that, the breakup is 90 renewable. Entire thing is renewable, 395. The breakup is 90 will be in NTPC, and 395 will be with the group companies. So that makes it total 495.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, and I, on behalf of the NTPC team, I thank all the participants for their very pertinent queries and an opportunity for us to explain the question in detail. Thank you once again.
On behalf of GM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.